34. Exodus chapter 34 and the verses 5, 6 and 7. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Now, with that short introduction, I shall now ask Jordan to step forward and answer that question. Do we know God?
Well, a very good evening, brothers and sisters. It's lovely to be here with you as always, and I apologise for my mad rush in. But it is lovely to be with you, and I bring you the love from the brothers and sisters at the Kimber Ecclesia. Now, when you heard the title for this talk, you probably were a bit shocked. I don't know what you thought, but you might have thought, what on earth is this brother from Kimber going on about do we know God? Is he questioning whether we know the creator of this earth? A baptised brother, why is he questioning this? And these thoughts, brothers and sisters, went through my head when a brother first asked me this. And it was about a year and a half ago. I was over doing some missionary work, and me and a brother were chatting about the scripts and about certain things. And he said to me, I've really been struggling over the last few months about a verse. And we're not going to turn there right now, but we will deal with it shortly. And it's the verse in Isaiah 55, verse 8, where it talks about God's ways and God's thoughts being higher than our ways and our thoughts. And he said to me, can we really know God with the context of this verse? And me being, of course we can. Of course we know God. We read Exodus 34 like we've just read and all sorts of things like that throughout the scriptures. And he said, but truly, can we? And we started to have more and more discussion about this. And I actually, in my own mind, started to doubt my relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I started to question. So I decided to do a study on it for myself and for the people to try and understand our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at the word know. Because in the English we have one word and that's know, and it means to understand something or something to be revealed. But in the Hebrew and the Greek, I found 11 different meanings for this Hebrew word know. So you can understand the relevance behind knowing God and understanding him in a variety of ways. And hopefully we're going to establish two Hebrew words tonight and two Greek words that may help you within your own lives to get a better relationship with your Heavenly Father. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm just going to put this back in the case because it keeps sliding off the lectern. So bear with me a second. So I did this a few weeks ago, a Bible class, but before that I'd never done it as a Bible class before. I'd always only done it as a discussion. And I was with some young people at Kimber, and we decided to discuss this topic. And I said to the young people, do we know God? And there were some brothers and sisters amongst them as well. And theirs were the same answer. Of course we do, Jordan. I said, well, how? And these were some of the suggestions that they gave back to me. They said, well, we know God through his creation and through, you know, the things that we see around us. We know the Lord God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. Exodus 34, we've just read about it. We read those few verses and we feel already like we start to understand the character of our God. The same kind of answer, we know God through the Bible. And this is one I really like. And this was a young person or a young brother who told me this. And he said, we know God through each other. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, God's name means I am who I am. I will be seen in a multitude of people. And he said, the only way that works is if we are showing God's ways within our own life. Like Jesus, the Word made flesh. So we can know God through each other. And we're going to deal with that one because I think that's a really important one. We know God through Christ's sacrifice. We're reading it today in Luke 22, weren't we? Of that terrible ordeal that the Lord Jesus went through. And we start to understand the love that God had for us in giving his only Son. Prophecy might be the one that builds our relationship with God. that the things he's promised have come to pass, and future things are going to come to pass. And finally, we get to know God and build a relationship with God through the power of prayer. So we're going to go through a few of these tonight, and we're going to look alongside some of these words. So I always like to start in the beginning. We're not quite in the beginning, but we're near enough. Let's go to Exodus 33, because I feel that this verse, or this chapter, is the first major incident where somebody asks to know God and his ways. And just to give you a bit of context, this chapter is not long after the incident of the golden calf, where Moses was up in the mountain and they turned to idol worship. And now here in chapter 33, we see God telling Moses and Israel to get out and to go to a land that he will show them. And then in verse 11 and 12, we see God communicating with Moses in the tabernacle. And then we come to verse 13, and this is the important bit. And this is our brother Moses praying. And he says, I pray thee, Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Now, just a little side note, brothers and sisters. When you're doing your readings, I recommend you get a colouring pencil and you highlight that phrase, thy way, every time you see it in the scripture. Because I cheated a little bit and I went straight to my online concordance. 377 times that phrase, thy way, appears throughout the scripture. We know how important being in the way of God is. And it's worth us thinking about that in our own prayer life, asking God to teach us in his ways and his precepts. So let's carry on with the verse. That was just a little side note. And Moses goes on to say, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Moses is asking to know God and his ways. And here, brothers and sisters, we see in verse 13, the word no. And it's the Hebrew word, and I apologise for all my Greek and Hebrew pronunciations tonight, they're terrible with my accent. But the Hebrew word for no is yada. And this is probably the most general occurrence of the word. This is the most used Hebrew word for no, and it's yada. And it means to know properly, by seeing, used in a variety of sense, so we can see God. Well, we can't see God literally, but figuratively to know something, literally to know something, metaphorically or euphemistically. And I suggest that Moses was asking to know God literally. And we'll come on to that in a moment, why Moses was asking this literally. But just as a little bit of exhortation for ourselves, I'm sure all of us in this room can relate to how Moses was feeling. We have to live by faith, don't we, and not by sight. And that's a really hard concept at times to grapple with. We can't see our Creator literally as this word uses it. And it's sometimes in our own prayers, isn't it, that we struggle and our relationship with God starts to feel a bit distant. And like Moses, we need to pray to the Lord, to ask him that we may know him, not literally, but in lots of different ways, a variety of senses that we're going to consider tonight. Let's carry on the context in verse 14. And God said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, Moses says, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. We see here that God answers Moses' prayer immediately. And sometimes prayer always won't be immediate, but in this instance, it is. And he says that his presence will go with Moses because he's found favour with God. And I suggest that he had found favour with God because he was asking the right questions in prayer. He was like Solomon. He was asking for wisdom in the things of the Spirit. He was growing with God. And I think the same applies to us. And I love the phrase at the end of verse 17 where Moses is asking God, God, I want to know you. I want to know you within my life. I want to know your ways. And God turns around to Moses and says, Moses, I know thee by name. And this took my mind straight to Psalm 139. If you'll just quickly turn there with me. And we're going to look at another faithful man now in Psalm 139 of David. And David asks similar questions to Moses. Psalm 139, bearing in mind this point of the questions that Moses was asking within his prayer, we're just going to go in at verse 1 and 2. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. And that's the word yadah, know there. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. God knows us. He knew David, he knew Moses better than we can ever know ourselves. And do we remember what Moses asked all the way back in Exodus 33? He said, show me now thy way that I may know thee. And at first, when I first read this, I don't know about you, but I felt it was quite demanding from Moses. It's very, very forceful what he's asking God. But I think verse 23 and 24 of Psalm 139 show what Moses is asking for. Because like David, David said, search me, O God. Know my heart, yadah my heart in all senses. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And when you look at that word search, I don't know about you, but I kind of think of it as an idea of hide and seek, where something's lost and you look for it. But that word search in the Hebrew is shakar, and it means to examine intimately like a doctor. I don't know about you, but do you ever ask God to examine you intimately? That's so scary in my eyes that we're asking God to almost rip us open, to look at our deepest thoughts and desires and to ask him to purge them away from us. Because the only way that we're going to become more faithful and more righteous in the sight of God is if we're asking this kind of prayer, if we're asking for God to examine us, to get rid of all the evil from our life, so that we can be led in the way. It's that phrase again, in the way everlasting. And Moses, he's asking the same thing. He's asking to know God and to know his ways. And with this idea in mind, for us practically, let's go to 1 John, to the Epistle of John. Because we too should be keeping the word with us and asking these kind of things. And we're actually going to spend a lot of time in the Epistle of John this evening. Because if you want a book that teaches you how to get to know God and how to put that knowledge into practice, then the Epistle of John is the book. Because what we discover about our brother John is that I know he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, but he was an extremely spiritual brother. And the way someone explained this to me is that you've got Matthew, Mark, Luke in the Gospels. And they're very chronological, aren't they? They follow in the accounts and the descriptions of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think about that with the cherubim, you've got Matthew as the lion, looking at Jesus from the royalty of his life. Then you've got Mark, the suffering servant, the ox. And these also can be related back to Isaiah. You think Isaiah, the visions of the kingdom, of the royalty. You've got Mark, the ox, Jeremiah, the suffering servant. And then you've got Luke, the flesh, the man. And you've got Ezekiel, O son of man, like we're reading at the moment. And then you come to John. And it's the eagle, isn't it? It's looking at the Lord Jesus Christ from a spiritual height. And you've got Daniel looking at it from spiritual terms, haven't you? From those prophecies that we read of there. And then you've got the Epistle of John. A book that teaches us how to put our knowledge of God into practice. And then you've got Revelation, the third book that John writes. A book of sign and symbol. He's an extremely deep man that we're studying this evening. But he goes on to say in chapter 2 and verse 5 that whosoever keeps the word of God, 1 John 2 verse 5, whoever keeps his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. And if we just flick over to chapter 4 and verse 12, we also read a similar thing. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. It's talking about God's word being within us, our knowledge of God's word, and then not just being a hearer, Not just keeping it to ourselves, but doing. Putting these things into practice, showing God's love to everybody around us. So we get the idea that knowing God isn't just a personal thing that we should keep to ourselves, but it's a principle that we need to show to everybody else what it is to know God. And we see in verse 12 of 1 John 4 the phrase, no man has seen God. And I want you to remember that and turn back with me to our chapter in Exodus 33. Remembering that point of no man has seen God. Because we remember the word yada, and there was a sense there that we could know something literally. But we're going to establish a principle now. So let's read now verse 18 till the end of the chapter chapter 33 of Exodus. And he said, Moses, I beseech thee. He's pleading now, isn't he? Show me thy glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord or Yahweh before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face. And I recommend you put a cross reference there to 1 John 4 verse 12. It's the same principle that John uses, that Moses uses. No man can see God and live. So from the word yada, we understand that we can't know God literally through physically seeing him. But he goes on to say, no man shall see my face and live. Verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen. And you might be asking, well, John, how has this got anything to do with us? God's not going to put us in a rock to show us his glory. That's not practical for us today, is it? But I think there's a lovely spiritual lesson behind this. Because who is our rock? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And when we go through those waters of baptism, God puts us in that rock, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the cliff, doesn't he? And when we think of God's outstretched arm, his right arm, his salvation, we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? That he's covering his glory by, and that we can only approach the Father through the rock, through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a lovely principle that we establish here, isn't it? And we said at the start, didn't we, that we can know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can know God through creation, through reading our scripture, and through each other, if we show the glory and the characteristics of God. So to truly know God, we need to truly yada or know Christ. Because he was the Word made flesh, wasn't he? He showed the Father in every aspect of his life. And to do this, we need to be actively reflecting on his life, not just on a Sunday. It's important, but we need to make sure that we memorize him, that he's a memorial in our life, every single day of our life. Because to know Christ is to know the Father. And a verse that I think sums this idea up lovely is in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. The idea that to know Christ is to know the Father. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light, the Lord Jesus, the Word, to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God's Word, God's ways shine through in every aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ's life. And by being associated with him through those waters of baptism, we too can show that light. It's not something that we keep to ourselves. It's something we need to show. And let's look now at something practically that we can do to show God's light and God's ways, to be a witness within this earth. Turn with me to Isaiah 43. And I will just say now, I got pulled up on this the other week. I do understand that this chapter is talking about the first application of natural Israel. It's talking about Israel being God's witness. But I do think that everything in Scripture is written for our learning and for our teaching. So therefore, I think you can also apply this verse to us, as well as Israel being the witness. So Isaiah 43 and verse 10. And God says, "You are my witnesses," and that's a record, that's a proof or a testament, says the Lord, "and you'll be my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know, that you may yada and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved and have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." So we've got this idea that when we know God in a variety of senses, which I'm pretty sure that all of us do in this room, when we believe and have that conviction and understand, then we've got a witness. We've got to show this. And I think a lovely verse that sums this up is Hebrews 12. And it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," and that's the saints, that's us through the mercy of God in the kingdom, "let us." And once again, that phrase, when we do our readings in Hebrews towards the end of this month, I'd recommend you highlight that phrase, "let us." And Mike Page showed us this actually at the youth weekend, and he called it lettuces, I think. But it's the idea of a collective. It's this idea of us as a family, not doing it on our own. But as an ecclesia here at Dudley, as mine at Kinver, we need to be like a lighthouse. We need to be that beacon for the world around us, to show forth the love of God, the light of God, to lay aside every weight and everything that bogs us down, and to run together, not on our own, but together with patience, the race that is set before us. And once again, it leads on nicely to who? Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And how did he accomplish it? He looked to the joy, didn't he, that was set before him, to endure the cross and to despise the shame. And now he sits on the right hand of God. And we pray to be part of that right hand side, those cloud of witnesses in that future age. But we too now need to be that beacon to the world around us. It's a dark world out there spiritually. And we need to be the source of light, that source of peace and comfort. I know this weekend we've been billing, haven't we, for a troubled titles associated with a troubled world. And that's what we need to be talking about, showing people that it is a troubled world, but there is a hope. There is a hope in the message that's contained in God's word. So we've established so far that to know God is to know Christ, the Word made flesh. But to also know God is to be a witness. And you might think, well, what on earth has that picture got to do with being a witness? Well, then, sisters, some people in this world may never read a Bible literally. But they might read a Bible in another way. The way you live your life, you could be a living Bible. You could be like the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. They might not read what the Scriptures actually say, but the way you conduct yourself, the characteristics that you show towards others, you could be the Bible in its living form. And isn't that just the purpose, really, of what we're all about? To show God's word within our lives every single day? So let's continue. Let's start to build up our knowledge a bit more of getting to know God. Let's go to that book, the Epistle of John. That's all about knowing God. And I know all Scripture is about knowing God, but I just think this book in particular really shed some light on it. And I'm trying to be a teacher, so I do like a bit of audience participation, just to make sure that I'm not confusing you, because I can rattle on all day, and I might not be getting the message across. So can someone just establish for me what that word in the Hebrew, yada, meant? Anybody?
Knowing properly,
yeah. Through a variety of ways. Cheers, Bob. Yeah. To know God properly by seeing, using a variety of ways. Okay? And we can establish those own ways within our own life, can't we? So in the New Testament, I'm just going to confuse you a little bit more. We're introduced to two new words about know. And they're scattered, these two Greek words, in the New Testament, throughout the Epistle of John. And it's lovely that in just chapter 2 alone, 24 times the word know appears. 12 times is this word genosko, and the other 12 times is this word eido. And isn't it lovely, I think, that John, through the inspired words, is teaching us a message. You've got to get the balance. You can't be all just academic knowledge, and you can't all just be about works. You've got to have the balance. You've got to be, as Timothy says, study to show yourself approved. You've got to study. You've got to eido. You've got to read academically the word and understand it. But then if you just keep it to yourself, what's the point? You've then got to go out and show it. You've got to experience it. So we come to these two words, genosko, to know absolutely by intimate experience. And that's a bit of a strange way of putting it. But the way I always explain this one is the idea of experiencing something. So if Brother Paul did something against him and I asked for his forgiveness and he forgave me, then through Paul, I have seen a characteristic of God, haven't I? I've seen the characteristics of forgiveness. So therefore, intimately and emotionally, I've experienced God, if that hopefully makes sense, through Paul. The second word is eido, and that's quite a self-explanatory one. We know God through reading about it, through the word. And I think a verse in John sums this up lovely. And just to help us out a bit, I've colour-coded it. So we know that he is righteous, and that's eido. Academically, we know God's righteous because we read about it in Exodus 34 and all through Scripture. You know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. And that's like the example I just used of Brother Paul. That through experience, we know someone is righteous because of the works that they do. Now, obviously, we could go into a bit more detail where only God knows the heart. But outwardly, we see righteousness born when people do the acts of God, don't we? Okay? So, we can experience God and that's why I highlighted that point on the mind map of knowing God through each other, because I think it's a really important one when we start to establish this word genosko. But when I was reading Luke 22 today, it made me think of this word genosko, because on a Sunday when we read verses like Luke 22 or Isaiah 53 or Psalm 22, those verses that speak so graphically of what Jesus went through for us, when we come to remember him and we think about him intimately, we experience, don't we, the love of Christ and the love of God, don't we, when we think about things such as this. And I was just thinking about it today, and I thought it summed that up lovely, genosko, that intimately, when we read of those things in the Scripture, when we apply these two things together, we get the outcome of knowing God. Okay? Let's follow on this point, and let's just flick over a page to 1 John 5 and verse 13. I'm going to just put you to the test now a little bit. I'm going to put it out there for someone to see if they can guess which no this is in 1 John 5 verse 13. I'll read it to you. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe. Which no do we think that is there? Is it eido or is it genosko? 50-50 chance of getting it right.
Number two.
Eido. Spot on, Bob. You're better than them at Stourport, because actually they got that one wrong last week. So, but no. So, yeah, it's eido. And the reason I think it's eido and not genosko is because of this. Because we've never experienced eternal life. We don't know what eternal life is going to be like. We only read about it, don't we? It says here that you may know through an academic sense, eternal life. We don't know what eternal life is going to be. But then you turn around to me and say, no, John, you're wrong. How does this work? John 17, verse 3. Sorry, that's a dodgy picture. It says verse 4. It's verse 3. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And you say, well, what's the problem? It's eido again. But it's not. It's genosko. It's saying that this is life eternal, to experience the only true God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think the explanation for this is that Christ is saying that this is life eternal. Life eternal is living a life like you would in the kingdom now. Because if we're not living spiritual lives now like we would in the kingdom, then how can we expect God to accept us into the kingdom. We've got to be trying our utmost now to live spiritual lives, haven't we? And I think what Christ is saying is, to live a life for God, to be having those characteristics of righteousness and all these things that we spoke of, that is what eternal life is going to be like. And when we come to the ecclesia, it's like a place of refuge, isn't it? It's away from everything and all the things that drag us down. And we come and this is life eternal, isn't it? This is what it's going to be like, being with like-minded people, reading the scriptures, worshipping God, praising him, and doing all to his honour and glory. And I think this is what this verse is talking about. This is what life eternal is going to be like. And we need to try and live it now within our own lives. And at this point, when I established all this, I thought, great, I've nailed this topic. I know God. And then the brother said to me, well, just turn back to Isaiah 55, verse 8 for me. Turn and read it. So I read it again. I'm going to read it to you now. For my thoughts, God says, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And he says, I know you've talked about all this that we've just established. But if our ways and our thoughts aren't on God's level, can we really know him? And I think we need to answer scripture with scripture. So let's go to Jeremiah 9. And what we need to understand about this question is that really, like anybody, even if you've been married to your wife 50 odd years, you're never really going to truly know them, are you, in this mortal state? They reckon we only use about, is it 10, 15% of our brain, maybe 20 if you're lucky. I'll probably only use about 3 of mine, but there we go. But it's true, isn't it? We're never really in this life going to truly know God, are we? It's only when we're going to be made immortal that we will truly know him. But we've got to grow to know him, haven't we? We can't just say, oh well, doesn't matter, we're not going to know him until the kingdom. We've got to grow now to get to know our God so that we know his ways and we know what the kingdom of God is going to be like. But I think Jeremiah 9, verse 23-24, does answer the question of knowing God. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knoweth, yadah me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. And what we're seeing here, brothers and sisters, is that to understand God is to exercise these loving characteristics. And what Jeremiah is putting forward here through God's words is he's saying that we do have the capability to some extent to know God. He says that you understand and know me. And that's a variety of senses. It might not be all the senses of Yadah, but it's a few of them. And we can understand things now. But the ultimate thing is not just to keep these things to ourselves, but to exercise them. And that's doing them, isn't it? When we think of exercise, it's about doing something. It's not sitting on your backside, is it? It's about getting out, showing these things that God has spoke of here in 24, of loving kindness, judgment, mercy. And it goes back to the point of James 1:22, of being a doer of the word and not just being a hearer. Putting your faith into action and not just saying, I have faith. Right, I realise time is rapidly increasing on. So let's go now to our fourth and final word. Jeremiah, just over a few pages. Jeremiah 22, verse 16. And this was the second question that this brother had for me that really confused him. Okay, and you'll understand why in a minute. Just to give you a bit of context of this chapter, because we need to get things into context. God, in Jeremiah 22... is judging Josiah's son, Shallum. Okay? And God here is using Josiah as an example to Shallum, who was his father, to explain to him what knowing God is. Okay? And we read in Jeremiah 22, verse 16, he judged the course of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? This was to know God. Because actually, it's a type of Christ. Josiah was typifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 72, we know, is a prophecy of the future age. And it says of Jesus, he shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy. So what Josiah was doing within his life was typifying. It was what the Lord Jesus Christ would have done. He was being faithful in these actions. And it says, if we go back to Jeremiah 22, verse 16, he did do this. And God says to Shalom, was not this to know me? And you'll be thinking, well, what's your problem, Jordan? It's Yardar again, isn't it? It's saying, this is to know God in a variety of ways. But this is where the problem comes in. More confusion. We've got a fourth word. I don't know how you pronounce this. Darth or Daath. Okay? And this means to know something unawarely or ignorantly. And after McBurn Sisters, I sat for about 2-3 hours just thinking, what on earth is the Hebrew trying to say to me now? Knowing God is doing things for him unawarely or ignorantly. And what I'm going to suggest for the answer, I'm not going to be dogmatic about at all. And I'd be really up for some discussion after if anyone's got any suggestions on what they think. But the way I think that we can establish what this is talking about is by this. Josiah, as we've established, was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a faithful man. And he knew, he adored God. He knew what it was to know God. And he showed it by these loving characteristics. And what happened was, he was doing it that often that it became part of his makeup. It became natural to him. He didn't have to think about it. He wasn't doing it to, oh, look at me. He was doing it because he had a humble heart and he knew that it was pleasing to God. He knew what it was that God wanted. And I think this is what the point of all of this is all about. We go from Yardar to Ido to Genosko and now finally to Daoth. When we start to understand these things, we start to do them naturally. We start to show God within our lives for the right reasons. We start to be more like the Lord. And I think a great example that sums up this word Daoth is the parable of the Lord Jesus Christ when he talks about the judgment seat. And he says to those righteous people at the judgment seat, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you gave me some clothes. And when I was in prison and sick, you visited me. And the righteous people said, well, Lord, when did we do this? And Jesus says to them, whenever you did it to the least of these, of my brothers and sisters, you did it unto me. And I think this sums up the word Daoth lovely. That we get to a point, hopefully, and we won't hit this all the time, but within our spiritual lives, we'll get to a point at times when we're spiritually high, where we'll just do the acts and the characteristics of God naturally, because we're filled with the Word. And in those moments of weakness, we need our brothers and sisters to be reciprocating that love and these characteristics to us, so that we can genosko, and we can intimately experience their ways and showing God within their lives. And I think this sums up what it is to know God. To do things for him. To praise him and not to praise man. And I think a quote that just sums up what we've been talking about is this. God manifestation, not human salvation. I always remember when I first started going through instruction, my Uncle Clive was taking me through and he said to me, why do you want to be baptized, George? And I said, I want to be saved. I want to live forever. And he said, good answer. But he said, that'll change. I thought, what? The Christadelphian's not told me something through my youth? But then I started to realise what he meant. Human salvation, the idea of being saved, should be the second thing. The ultimate thing of the kingdom and this life is giving praise to God, isn't it? It's about living a life that shows God. It's Numbers 14:21, filling this earth as the waters cover the sea with the glory of God. And if we're doing these things unawarely, then it won't be about ourselves. It won't be about our own salvation. It will be about God. It will be about remembering him and giving praise to him within our lives. So let's start to conclude our thoughts. We've established, haven't we, some Greek and some Hebrew words. And I hope that these four words have just given you a little taste of what it is to know God. And hopefully you can look at these within your own life, and I can, and we can start to try and put them into practice. And I recommend, because literally we've hit the surfaces with this subject tonight, I recommend you go away and you look in the scripture of what it is to know God. You look at the other seven meanings of what it is to know God, because they all mean different things, so that spiritually we can grow together to show forth the praises of our God. I want to conclude tonight in the Epistle of John. 1 John 5. And it's the last, one of the last verses that John says in the first of his epistles. And it's just so lovely that in verse 20 of 1 John 5, he encapsulates both of the Greek words, ginosko and eido. And I think this just shows that we need to have a balance of them. We can't all be study, we can't all be works. We've got to have that balance. And he says in verse 20, and we know, and that's eido, academically, we know that the Son of God is or has come, and he will come. We read about it in the scriptures. And has given us an understanding that we may know, and that's ginosko, that's experience, that we may experience him that is true, that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And brothers and sisters, through intimate experience, through academic knowledge of reading the scriptures, we can understand and know God within our lives. And the way we do that perfectly is by showing it. And I think this is the conclusion. This is to know God, to show him in your life, to glorify him, to give him praise, and to ultimately get yourself ready for eternal life, where we will, through God's grace, truly know him. And so will the whole world. Thank you very much for listening.